Jamie Waxman, and this is the Hot Sauce Podcast. Welcome. Yes, welcome today. We are going to be talking about male escorts and the fine line between companionship and prostitution. I have a guest named Garen James, who used to help run an agency for female escorts. So he knew a little bit about the business and realized that there was a niche missing: male companionship for straight women. So in 2010, he landed himself a spot on the Tyra Banks show as that real-life guy from Hung, which is an interesting story in and of itself. And from there went on to launch a male escort service that you can find in major metropolitan cities all over the United States, like Los Angeles, Nevada — that would be Las Vegas mainly — some places in Texas and Florida, San Francisco. And Garen now has a company that provides services for women who want male companionship. Does that mean it leads to sex? Look, what happens between two consenting adults happens between two consenting adults. But the male escort service, which is totally legal, apparently, that is a service where you pay for friends. So I got Garen James on the phone. I'm doing an interview with him for Playgirl, and I got him to talk with me about Cowboys for Angels and about Garen James. And I'm really excited for today's show, between that fine line, like between female sex work and male sex work, although it's not necessarily called sex work. It is some form of relationship work. What are the boundaries? What is the story? Where can you get one? Follow the podcast. Follow me on Twitter at JAMYE. And now, welcome, Garen James, who you can also find on Twitter at Cowboys4. That's the number 4 Angels. And that's also the website, Cowboys4Angels.com. Just that number, not the whole, the number 4 part. And it's been a really long time coming for women to be able to find an escort service or a service where they can just, you know, pay for the company of somebody and see where it goes.
Right. Hi, Jamie.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So I have a lot of questions. Like, who are you? Who is Garen James? Like, why? Where did this all come about?
I'm college educated, and I graduated from Hanover College in Indiana, small liberal arts school. And after that, I got a corporate job, and then I got discovered as a model, and I modeled internationally. And then things got a little rough in my life, and I battled with addiction. And so I kind of quit that industry and got myself clean. And I met a agency owner, a woman who owned a female agency, and we began dating. And then I decided to start a men's division.
Is it difficult to date somebody who works in the sex industry? Like, how did that feel for you? Like, were you just always open sexually, or?
Well, she was an agency owner. She wasn't an escort, so there was no issues in that sense.
It was just something you saw as a business owner, like,
yeah.
Oh, this is interesting. There's a need here, a niche that's not being filled.
Oh, you mean for my agent?
Yeah, for yours then.
Yeah, it just, you know, it kind of happened all by luck, I guess. It's an interesting story because I started the men's division. I made a website, and I put up, I asked my girlfriend, well, how do you get girls for your agency? And she said, they call me. And so I knew that I had to act as if. So I knew how to run an agency, but I didn't have any men. So what I did was I put about 8 stock photography photos of men that weren't real, so I could act as if the agency was there, and that way I could get guys more easily. And what happened was, the relationship got really bad with my ex-girlfriend. I was in a situation where I was helping her run her business. I was living in a $3 million home on the Intercoastal, a Maserati in the driveway, my pearl white chopper, but I didn't get a paycheck. So I had a debit card, but this is my paycheck for the week. So I kind of was under her thumb, and things got really bad with the relationship. And one day she said, if you don't like it, you can get out. And so I just put my clothes in my truck and I shifted to Los Angeles and I said, okay, I'm done with this. And I had nothing. And so I got a few modeling jobs in Los Angeles. And things were rough. I was renting a couch. And one day I get a call from the Tyra Banks Show. And they said, we want to do a story about male escorts. Can we have some of your male escorts go on an episode? And like I said, I had no male escorts. I just had a website with some fake guys on it. And so I said to them, no, of course not. You know, we would never do that. None of the guys would go public. But I said, if you tell Tyra, if she ever wants to hire a male escort, that I'll see her personally. I'll come out of retirement. And I hung up. And the next day they called me back and they said, listen, we read the website. We really like you. Why don't you come on and talk about escorting? You got some character to you. And so I said, no. Then I said, how much do you pay? And they said, we don't pay guests. Like I said, I was broke. And I said, you don't pay guests. She's like, no, we have movie stars come promote movies and books. Like, we don't pay people to come on our show. And I said, I'm not doing it. And so, because I wasn't going to go sit on a show and say that I was a male escort for nothing.
Sure, sure. I mean, you were about to create a new career for yourself.
yeah. And they told me I wasn't allowed to talk about the agency just as a male escort. So I'm like, this is pointless. And so the next day they called me back with a couple of producers and they said, listen, you can mention the name of your website and we'll give you a check for $400 and a plane ticket to New York and a per diem for 2 days and a hotel. And I was like, $400? That's like rent for a week and food and gas. And I was like, deal, done deal. And they said, you got to tell stories about being a male escort. So I was like, okay, sure, no problem. Sent them photos of me getting on a private jet with my ex-girlfriend, blurred her out. Sent her them pictures of me in Jamaica, blurred her out. And went to New York with the intentions of making $400. I knew that I would save the paycheck. This way, if somebody ever went down the line, when I'm pursuing this acting and modeling career, I could say, oh, it's just a paid gig. I got a paycheck to prove it. So when I sat down on the Tyra Banks Show, Tyra said, this is Garen James. He's a male escort. Who wants a date with Garen James? And the crowd went nuts. The women were screaming. If you look at the footage on my website, she says, how much would you pay? And some lady screams, $500. And I looked at, and I sat there and I was like, oh my God, there really is a need for this. I knew that it was big in Australia and London, that there was a lot of street male escort agencies in Europe, but there just wasn't anything in the U.S. And I just didn't know if it was, possible. And once I sat down on the Tyra Show, I was like, this is definitely possible. So Tyra said, what are you going to do when you're old and gray, Garen? And I said, I represent 15 different men in 3 different cities, Tyra. And mind you, I had nobody. Because I knew I had a couple months before that show aired to make the agency real. So what I did was, after I came back from New York, I started calling and recruiting. And I interviewed about 300 men It took me that 2 months, day and night, interviewing, meeting, you know, going through photos.
So were men actually sending you photos?
Well, I recruited that. I recruited in my own little secret way. I found a way to find men that were that had professional photos, because that's the trick in this industry. Having professional photos for a male escort is like having a college education in the business world. If you don't have professional photos, you can't work.
But does that mean if you have professional photos, a lot of time you're already like an actor or someone in the arts?
Yes.
Okay. So you have, I'm going to call it special Garen James sauce that you mix together to get escorts after you actually had none. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had experience running an agency for a couple of years. So it wasn't that I didn't know what I was doing. It's just that I didn't have the men yet.
Right.
And so when the Tyra Banks show aired, I was in the top 10 Google search sites in the nation for the day.
Wow.
Yeah. So it just, that's what happened. That's the story. It just kind of was a fluke.
So it sounds like really with on the other side of it, having been a TV producer before, that you were really the only, like you said, that you knew that there was this availability in England and Australia and other places. But you might have been the only thing they could come up with in the U.S., which is why they kept coming back to you, because there was nothing else. And why do you think that is? Why was the United States so late to the game?
You know what? That's a good question. The reason why I started at the agency is because I was at a bar restaurant in South Florida, and a lady approached me and she said, "Hi, I run a male escort agency in Australia, and sometimes we have clients come to the U.S. and we're looking for a guy or two in the U.S. And she asked me if I'd be interested, and you know, it wasn't something I was interested in doing. But when I went back home, I said, "Well, gosh, why isn't there any agencies in the U.S.? Like, why would she need, you know, why would a client from Australia not just hire a guy to an agency in America?" And when I went online, I saw the problem. The problem was, is that any agency or any man that had ads had said that they were bisexual, that they would see men and women. And so I think what that did was is it turned women off to hiring men at all, because they thought that they were gay or you know, seeing men, which totally turns women off.
So I think most women, not all women, but most.
Yeah. Most women, they don't want to think about the guy that they're with being with a man. And so I think that's what the problem was in the United States, is that there was no 100% straight men just seeing women. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, before that, then I guess the guys could make some money seeing women, but most of their money was made seeing men. And that was the big thing that when I started, I got accused of in a lot of different articles, was that my men must be men. And I tell you, I got tons of emails like, I'll give 10 grand for a guy. You know, and I knew that there was press, like, testing me to find out if, in fact, we actually would see men. You know, and I'm sure some of them were just actual men wanting to see the men because of their fantasy. But yeah, that's one thing that I did from the very beginning, was I made a very clear-cut line. And any guy that I hired that was previously working, if I, you know, did some research on them and I found that they had an ad up in which they would see men, I wouldn't hire them at all.
You talk about men who are willing to spend time in the company of other women. It is like this often thought, like, well, they must be sex. There's some like sexually open link that comes into your mind? Like, a straight guy wouldn't do this. Like, it's got to be a guy who does all of this stuff and is on this broad spectrum, because a straight, you know, guy would be like, I have a girlfriend and that's how it goes. I don't know where we get that mentality, but it's very true. Like, when you see, oh, this guy can't just be straight if he's willing to have sex with women for money, that makes no sense. But at the same time, it sort of has been the expectation around, like, the idea of what a male escort is. Like, but you don't get that same sort of feeling with women ever.
Right.
So, and maybe it also has a link to testosterone, where you just think, well, testosterone is the sex and aggression hormone. So a guy who has a lot of testosterone would be interested in getting paid to be with women, like, and, you know, be in the company of women for money. But that must also mean, since they have more testosterone, they could do it with anyone. I don't know. It is fascinating to me that that's something that has come up for you, is that if these guys are willing to do this, then they must be willing to do it with anyone, really. They just haven't met the right other person. Like, other guy.
Another man.
But that's not the case at all.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I hire men that, you know, do not see other men.
Did you ever come out of quote-unquote retirement?
You know, in the beginning, I did see clients. However, it got to the point where, you know, the point of an agency or the point of a booker for an escort is that he screens the clients, sets up the appointments, is involved with the relationship of the client on that level to where it's a business level. And there's no flirting, emailing, texting, calling. There's none of that other stuff that comes along with maintaining clients. So when a client that I would see had the direct line, then there was that maintenance of the flirting, the emailing, the texting, the calling. And that's, you know, what the problem with escorts that are independent is, that it consumes their personal life.
Mm.
So the point of having an agent or a booker or an agency to work with is that not only do they screen the client, set up the appointments, and then you just show up, it's that they are that buffer from the continuous contact or the maintenance of a relationship.
Yeah.
So when they're on their appointment, they give their 100% attention. They are there 100%. There's no using the phone. There's no, you know, that's their time. Now, when that appointment's over, if you want to have a continuous relationship, then you book through the agency and set up another time and date.
So are the guys even allowed to give their numbers to clients?
No, well, the men are not supposed to exchange information, and that's for, you know, several reasons. The first reason is that it's for the protection of the client. The client, again, has her own personal life. And you know, if you're working with somebody who's independent, that person can, after they see you, text you, call you, and say, hey, when do you want to see me again? Do you want to book me for this Friday? I'm available. Or I can't pay my rent this month. Can you help me out? Or,
right.
You know,
it becomes a much more, like you said, all consuming relationship when it's a business transaction.
Right. So, you know, the agency is the buffer. I do not, after an appointment, contact a client to book another appointment. My only contact with the client after an appointment was, you know, a quick review. Did you have fun? Great. I don't share their information with anybody. I don't email them, call them. I don't, you know, bug them to book another appointment. Their information is completely protected. None of the men have their phone numbers, emails. You know, often they don't even have their real names.
Right.
So it's confidentiality. And, you know, for the men, If somebody does exchange contact information with somebody, that will be the last time I ever work with them. Yeah, because, I mean, and, you know, I, as an agency, we do a lot. I do a lot as far as press and radio and film and setting up these shows like Dr. Phil are not easy. It's like very consuming to, because I'm part producer of the actual episode with the ideas of who's going to go and what we're going to wear. And, you know, everything rests on my shoulders. So, you know, I do a lot to get these clients, and I share the clients with the men, and we share them. But ultimately, they're clients of Cowboys for Angels.
Well, who is, so that's a good segue question into the clients and what women book these dates. And I know it's going to not be a specific one type of woman, but what type of woman calls Cowboys for Angels?
Well, you know, part of the privacy of the agency is that I don't ask clients for photos. I don't ask them for their age. I don't ask them what race they are. So it's kind of hard. People ask me that a lot. Like, well, how old are the women that use the service? I really don't. I don't ask. I've had some men that say, hey, can you get a photo of the client? And I say, no. It doesn't matter what she looks like. You know, she's paying for an appointment. So it's there is no, let me see what she looks like before I would book it,
so,
you know?
If it mattered to one of your cowboys, like what she looked like, then he obviously wouldn't be a good fit for the company because it's not about that.
Exactly. So, you know, and it's privacy as well. If I'm going to use a service and it's supposed to be discreet, why would I have to send a photo of myself? What's going to happen to that photo? Where does that photo go? Is it going to get posted online somewhere? Or, you know, what's the deal with the photo?
Well, then how do you check that the person is really who they say they are?
Well, I have a screening process.
Okay.
Very thorough screening process. But it doesn't include knowing somebody's age, race, or what they look like.
Well, I love that because beauty is only skin deep on those levels. And it's not about that either. It's about, you know, for me, what I think is the most awesome thing about services like Cowboys for Angels is that it provides a space for, it builds self-esteem and confidence and body image sometimes too. And, you know, it's just, it's releasing all those oxytocin vasopressin hormones in whatever way, just to make people feel good about themselves without having to worry. So that's.
Yeah. Well, the point of our service is that we are a no strings attached, nobody's judging you. Nobody is, it's not, match.com to where you show up, the person is just there to maybe try to get in your pants, you know, telling you things that, you know, there's an honesty in this business, and that honest to the point that we're there to serve you. You know, we don't bring in, that's the thing with the service industry, is we're not going to sit there and bring in our personal life. You don't go to a very nice restaurant, sit down for dinner, and then the waiter comes over and says to you, hi, can I take your order? You know, I'm not doing good today. I got a speeding ticket on the way to work. My dog died yesterday. What do you want to eat? You know, and it's the same thing in any high-end service, is that you don't bring your personal life into an appointment. You are there to shine, and you're there to make the client feel as special as you can. And so, you know, that's what we try to do. We're not, we're there just to entertain and make somebody feel special. And all the men that I hire are genuine, like, nice people. I don't hire anybody with an ego or anybody who's fake or anybody who's
Do you go on dates with the men before yourself?
Do I what?
Like, do you go, like as part of the trial period, do you go on dates with these guys at all? Like, do you go out with them? They have to have a certain social, like, do you give them social skill classes?
Well, what I do is I start with photos, obviously. I got to find a guy who's going to turn heads, over 6 feet tall generally, college educated. That's what I look for. Amazing good looks in a college education. That's generally, if a man has that, then I'll do an interview. And in the interview, I just ask some basic questions like, are women attracted to you? And if they start going on and on and on about how attractive they are, then that'll go no further.
Okay. You don't do, can you tell the difference between your and your?
Right. So yeah, the interview process starts with photos, then it goes to a phone interview, and I just feel them out. And then I'll do a Skype interview just to get their body lingo, and then I like to meet up with them. And then generally what I'll do is I have a few clients that I've asked in the past if I have a new guy, would you like to meet him for a discounted rate to give me your opinion? And so I have women in the cities that I operate in, and they do a screening for me and let me know feedback.
How many calls do you get a week to, like, just overall? I mean, I know you're in how many cities now?
We're in South Florida, New York, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Dallas. I have a guy in San Francisco. Now there's a difference between male escorts and female escorts. Male escort appointments are generally longer than a female escort. Female escorts generally, 90% of appointments are 1 hour appointments.
What's the average appointment time for you?
4 hours.
Whoa. Okay. Well, you know, men are like microwaves and women are like ovens. It takes us a long time to just warm up and get used to being, comfortable.
Well, yeah. I mean, the appointments generally start out with dinner and drinks. And then from there, they go wherever they go. But women want to sit and get to know somebody and talk and it's just strange. It's just generally appointments are 4 hours longer, 6 hours overnight, where women can spend time with somebody. So we generally do about 30 appointments a week. But again, they're longer appointments.
So also, do you find, since you have managed both the male and the female side of agencies, that women plan out further in advance? Is that another?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's something that I deal with constantly because I'll get an appointment request for like 3 months away. I've got an appointment request for like 9 months away. And I'm like, oh my God.
Wow, I don't even know if I'm going to be alive and not. I mean, I hope I am.
Yeah. So what I don't book appointments more than 1 month out just because I don't know exactly if one guy's going to switch cities or where exactly somebody's going to be. So, because the guys kind of switch around a little here and there. So yeah, I do my best not to book anybody more than a month in advance. And so this way there's no disappointment if that guy's not in that city.
That makes a lot of sense. You said something else interesting. You don't hire guys mostly not unless they're over 6 feet tall. Why is that?
I don't know. I came up with that number.
Okay.
I just generally think that women are attracted to taller men. Now I have a friend who's like 5'8", and I don't know, he's just got this magic touch, and he's wouldn't go nuts for him. So, I don't know why I came up with that number, but I just generally think that women are looking for somebody who's taller. I think that's
For me, totally politically incorrect would be that a woman's not going to be disappointed with a taller man, where some women will look at shorter men and be like, oh, he's short, which doesn't bother me, although there was a time where it did. But I think that that would make some sense. But it was just interesting that you said, you know, if they're over 6 feet tall, they're college educated, then I start to like zoom in more. And now, I mean, you guys, so how did Gigolos come about?
Oh, the show?
Yes.
Well, I can't really answer too many questions about the show.
But you've been involved with it since the beginning?
Yeah, I am a creative consultant for the show. Yeah, I'm a hired creative consultant for the show.
Okay. There is a cowboy that's on the show, but it's not a show based on just your agency.
No, the show is not based on Cowboys for Angels. They are, how do I say this, two separate entities. Cowboys for Angels and the Gigolo Show are two separate entities. I did help them as a creative consultant find men for the show and find clients that hire the men.
Is it hard to find clients to go on TV?
No, actually. It's not. People like to be on TV.
Yes, that's true. And is it all taped in Nevada? Is that how you can sort of get away with everything, if that makes sense? I mean, like the Cat House was Nevada.
I can't answer any questions. Okay. I can't answer any questions like that.
Do you have any crazy stories, like of a, like some like just example of like a really amazing night or like a crazy night that like can never be repeated?
Like I said, I don't go on the appointments.
Right.
I don't ask the men, you know, what was the appointment like. I just ask them, was everything okay? Was she happy? So I don't know any really crazy stories. I mean, I have some amazing stories about some women who have used the service, which, you know, totally made my day. I mean, I've had a situation I can talk about, like three in particular. There was a client who called, and she told me that she was in an equestrian accident, fell off her horse, a very, you know, wealthy woman, fell off her horse, hit her head, and it caused her retinas to, I don't know the correct terminology, but she had retina damage and she's blind. And it was a year and a half since the accident happened, and she hadn't been on a date since. And she wanted somebody to go out with her. It was in Las Vegas. Her assistant picked out the guy, I guess explained how hot he was. And she wanted to go to dinner and go to walk through the casino. And her only reply or request was that he would let her know who was looking at them. And, you know, who was there women like looking at them because she was with this beautiful man? She wanted that feeling again of being felt special, you know, that she was with this beautiful man. And she wanted him to describe the looks on other women's faces, like jealousy and things like that. You know, and she, I don't know, she just had been afraid to go out on a date, and it'd been so long, and we broke her back into the dating scene. And the email that I got was just incredible. Just, you know, thank you so much. I've been so afraid to date, and I felt like if I sort of paid for it, then I wouldn't feel any pressure or anybody, you know, judging me for being blind and asking me questions, and just wanted somebody to act as if I wasn't. I don't know what happened after that, but hopefully, you know, if that experience gave her the ability to to have no fear in the dating world.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's that permission. It's getting back, so to speak, getting back on the horse.
Right. Another incredible story. I don't know if I can talk about the exact. We can say that there was a woman attacked and she hadn't dated in 2 years and it ruined her marriage. And she hired Nick Hawkins specifically for an overnight appointment just so she could tell her story to somebody else, get it off her chest, and be able to go out with all of that off of her chest into the dating world again, like Clint.
Mm.
And she did that, and she wrote an email, an incredible email about how the experience has, like, changed her for the better, and Nick was, you know, special, and he broke her back into the dating world and let her tell her story and shed her tears, and she felt like it cleansed her, and she was able to move on.
Oh.
And we've had, I've had burn victims that have used the site. So, and women that have had bad breakups and gone through bad divorces, and, but that's not all the clients, but those are the special clients for me.
Yeah.
But most of the clients don't have to do with that. They don't have to do with this, incredibly bad story behind it. It's just that a woman is very successful. She doesn't have time to date, and she travels a lot. So, I've had a client that said, I tried Match.com and went on 3 horrible dates, spent a lot of money on the website, spent money on these dates, and they were horrible. So why wouldn't I just go for a pre-screened guy that I don't have to worry anything about? I don't have to worry about the second date, the third date, just to have a lot of fun.
It's so true. I mean, it's like, it makes dating, I'm all for, I'm 37, I'm looking for love, and I'm all for an arranged marriage right now, because it makes life easier. You go on a date, you're on this date for the night, it's going to be fun, you're going to be able to stare at someone attractive, and they're going to pay all their attention to you, and all you have to do is enjoy it.
Right. Exactly.
It's a win-win. I mean, I would be curious how some women deal with, because I do think women are just more emotionally attached creatures. So right. I would be curious how some women do deal with what it's like after a date with someone who's that attractive and loving, even though in your head this was, a business date sort of. There must still be some emotional, like, do women try and contact you? Do you have to play therapist?
No.
Okay.
I mean, not really. I've never, I have a client who sees one of the guys regularly, and she'll, send me a text. I miss Nick. I wish it was, 2 weeks from now when I get to see him, things like that. But,
okay.
But generally, generally women understand what they're doing. They are doing this because they're not looking for that other thing.
Right.
They're just not looking for it right now. Time Magazine in March of this year put out an article called Women, Money, and Power. The front of the magazine said, women are overtaking men as America's breadwinners and how that's changing everything. And, it talked a lot about dating in the article, and it talked a lot about the change in times to where women back in the day couldn't own property. And when they first, in England were talking about letting them own property, they said it was going to destroy marriage because women would do what they wanted to do. And so, like, today, the article said that women in their 20s in most major metropolitan areas that are single with no children are now making more money more money than men per dollar, per hour.
Wow.
So what that's doing is this. It's changing the way women will accept you bad men on a date, in my view. So if I'm making enough money to where I am not looking for somebody to marry and take care of me, then I'm going to have higher standards of what a man should be. And so when a man does not open the door for me, when he does not push my chair in, and he doesn't do those things that I would expect a gentleman to do, then I'm on to the next one. I'm not going to be submissive to this person when I'm making more money than they are. You know, I expect a gentleman. And so, you know, I think that's why our service has become more popular, is because women are not, they're not going out on these lame dates anymore and saying it's okay. And so, you know, that's the service that I offer, is that ultimate gentleman. You know, and that's the thing that I go over with the men, is that on this date, you are the perfect gentleman, because that's what the client wants.
So is the ultimate gentleman like the girlfriend experience?
So when I say the ultimate gentleman, I'm not talking about anything sexual.
Okay, so that's the, right. And the girlfriend experience, I always thought was sexual.
It's a sexual issue.
You're not selling sex. And I think that's also a big distinction. Like, I mean, come on, let's be real. Sex happens times. But it feels like it's this double standard, because it's like with women, when you pay for this, you assume sex. Like if a guy is paying for a woman or a guy is paying for a guy, you assume sex. But when a woman is paying for a man, you can't. Like, it's just this interesting mind.
Well, here's the thing. A woman can walk into any bar, raise her hand and say, who wants to have sex with me? And she'll have 10 or 15 guys line up to have sex with her. So, you know, it's not about, so, you know, the service that we offer is not about sex at all, because a woman can get sex anytime she wants. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is being that gentleman. So it's, you know, I'm not naive. I understand that things can get romantic. However, that's not, you know, the main point of the agency.
Right. The main point of the agency is the ultimate gentleman.
Yeah.
I think Cowboys for Angels opens up the discussion on so many levels. It opens it up on that women don't always want the boyfriend or the partner, that sometimes women just want a good time with someone that they have no strings attached to. One,
right.
That women can enjoy this experience and do for a number of reasons. Like I told you when we talked before, like the ABC piece about that woman who's like, every time I lose 5 pounds, I get to go out with a cowboy. Like the incentives that are there to improve their own lives is huge. And
that's great, you know. And I know that other clients, they get, like they have sent me an email saying, I'm starting to work with a personal trainer now because next time I see one of your cowboys, I want to be more in shape. And, you know, it's like inspirational sometimes.
Why do you call them cowboys?
Just because the name of the agency.
No, I figured that. But what made it Cowboys for Angels? Like what, was it the allure of the whole cowboy idea?
I don't know. It just sounded good, you know. It just sounded like, you know, the client is the angel and the guy is like a cowboy. I don't know. It just sounded great to me. It just sounded fun.
So I have one more question for you about your life. Is it hard for you to date? Are you in a relationship?
Yeah, I have a relationship. I'm currently dating a very, very sweet girl. She's Colombian and she's amazing. And no, I have no problems dating. I am, you know, I'm an agency owner and she knows that. And there's an agreement. I don't see clients. You know, I get asked a lot to see clients and I just don't do it. I'd rather, you know, I'm 37.
Oh, we're the same age.
Yeah. I'd rather send somebody younger, more handsome, and you know, more hungry, more on the go.
Oh, Garen James, youth is wasted on the young. No, but I agree. No, I think I meant just in general, like, I do, you know, sex education for a living, and sometimes I find myself, when I'm meeting someone to date, like, having to really talk to them about what that means and what that is, and like, the expectation, like, just because I do this doesn't mean I'm having sex with everyone, and just, like,
right.
it makes dating a different, it puts it on a different level than, say, if I was an accountant or, a first grade teacher.
Right. Well, yeah, I haven't had any issues. You know, my girlfriend sees, I share some of the emails with her and share some of the text messages from these clients that are just so happy. And she, you know, she loves the fact that I own a business in which my goal is to make somebody happy, you know, and what could be, you know, what other job could I do where my main goal is to entertain and, you know, make somebody feel special. So she's very supportive of the agency.
Yeah, and it must feel really good. I was going to say, it must feel really good to be you. But, I think I went from a career in radio and television to a career in sex education because it was so empowering to get those stories that you were just saying about people who have a life-changing experience that allows them to go on with their life as a result of being with a cowboy and having the whole experience of not being judged and being able to be open and not feeling like one of the other things that the woman said on the ABC Nightline piece that I really liked was, I don't care what I say. I don't care if they don't agree with my opinions. Where when I'm dating, right. like I care, but here I don't because it doesn't matter if they like my opinion. They're going to like me anyway, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. You know, it's like we're non-judgmental.
Yeah.
And you know what I think is important, too, to talk about, in which, like, I created a whole FAQ page about is why is there a social stigma against male escorts, or why is there a social stigma against escort agencies in general when they're a legitimate legal business in the United States? And, you know, the only time that you ever hear about escort agencies is when they've crossed the line and broken the law.
Mm.
So, you know, and the way that they do that is by hiring underage girls or secret links on their website, you know, saying, you know, what sexual services the person will do, money laundering, brothel situations. So, you know, it's sad that the only time that you hear, except for recently with Cowboys for Angels, about an escort agency is when they've done something wrong. You know, and I've been fortunate enough to be able to go on to these shows and talk about, you know, the agency from a positive point of view instead of a negative point of view. And I created a whole FAQ page because of that, because every time I would go on these shows, there was, like, the crowd would be, like, skeptical of us or, you know, suspicious of us because they've only heard bad stuff in the press, you know,
right.
And escort agencies are 100% legal in the United States.
In all
you know?
States?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. And what is it that they define as an escort agency? Like what you were saying, just going out and being paid to go out and have a good time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a problem is that the only time that you hear about an agency is when they've done something wrong, and that's why there's a social stigma against it.
Well, also, if you look at the news, no one ever likes to start a news program with a happy story because everyone's going to turn off. You have to have
right.
that, like, oh, my God, can you believe that this person was paid to do this or whatever to
right.
sort of sensationalize it, which I think also goes back to that why was the United States so far behind other countries in accepting that women just want to sometimes go out and feel good and are willing to pay for it because they have the money to do so. And it's not ever stigmatized when a guy does it, but when a woman does, it's like, what's wrong with them? It's like masturbation. Fine for guys. Well, if you're a girl, you're just not getting it from your guy or whatever. And it's,
right.
It's a really, I think you're doing a lot to help break the stigma down. And also to just like give people like goes back to that permission thing. That's what we want more than anything else is permission to be ourselves.
That's the type of thing that I do. And, you know, it's just incredible for me.
Well, you know, I feel like that goes full circle back to Tyra in the same sort of way. I mean, you did that for money, and you manifested the $400 you needed and the per diem and whatever, but it was more than that. And, you know, the fact of the matter is it's inspirational to me I have just gone through some big part of my life where I had to make some big decisions based on my heart and my integrity versus money or publicity or whatever. And although sometimes what looks like right away immediately was the possibly like, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. Look how it comes back to you in spades. And because you're on to something, I mean, you're on it. If you build it, they will come, and they are coming and coming and coming in many different forms. And, and now, you know, you're at the forefront of a new movement. And the fact that you speak about it so unabashedly, and that, you know, Showtime I've not seen the show, obviously, from my questions asked to you, but that Showtime has, you know, come behind and said that there are people who want to even just watch this, regardless of doing it. Like, there's a lot there, and good for you, because you're right. You have to, the fight that you will continuously battle, at least for a little while, Garen, is that what you do is not illegal, and that you're not trying to make this, like, salacious or, you know, sensational. You are just providing a service that has been needed forever and will be needed. Even when World War One, this would have been a great service, or World War Two, when soldiers went away, for women to just have company. We just want company. That's what we like the most. So
yeah, and you know, the men are in that area. They're often tour guides. You know, somebody's coming into a city like Las Vegas, and she has a convention, and she wants to spend the weekend. Well, what is she going to do? Well, hire one of my guys that knows all the hot spots, you know, and often we're tour guides as well.
That's brilliant. So, hire a local, one that you don't mind, like, looking at. One that's good to, you know, easy on the eyes is always better.
Where are you located?
I'm in San Francisco.
Because, you know, we could always send you out on a date.
Oh, my God, that would be fun. I've never done that.
Okay.
All right, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, bye.
Bye. I don't know if I'm going to really go out with Chase. Maybe. But if you want to get in touch with Cowboys for Angels, it's Cowboys, the number 4. angels.com. Garen James is the brains behind the booty or the gentleman experience. I still only call it boyfriend. Follow them on Twitter at Cowboys4Angels, and you can follow me on Twitter at JAMYE. I'm Jamie Waxman. This is the Get Your Lasso and Fly Away. It's a cowboy and an angel. Get it? Hot Sox Podcast. I'll be back again real soon with another conversexual conversation. Ciao for now. This girl that I meet, I'm gonna talk so sexy. She want me from my head to my